यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nithai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text Number 32.
श्रीभीष्म उवाच इति मतिरुपकल्पिता वितृष्णा भगवती सात्वतपुङ्गवे विभूम्नि स्वसुखमुपगते क्वचित् विहर्तुम् प्रकृतिमुपेयुषी यद्भव प्रवाह। श्रीभीष्म उवाच इति मतिरुपकल्पिता वितृष्णा भगवती सात्वतपुङ्गवे विभूम्नि स्वसुखमुपगते क्वचिद् विहर्तुम् प्रकृतिमुपेयुषी यद्भव प्रवाह। श्रीभीष्म उवाच इति मतिरुपकल्पिता वितृष्णा भगवती सात्वतपुङ्गवे विभूम्नि स्वसुखमुपगते क्वचिद् विहर्तुम् प्रकृतिमुपेयुषि यद्भव प्रवाह।
Mataji's?
Thank you.
Shri Bhishma Uvacha, Shri Bhishma Dev said, Iti, thus, Matihi, thinking, feeling and willing, Upakalpita, invested, Vitrashna, freed from all sense desires, Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead, Satvat Pungave, unto the leader of the devotees, Vibhumni, unto the great, Swasukam, self-satisfaction, Upagati, unto he who has attained it, Kvachit, sometimes, Vihartum, out of transcendental pleasure, Prakritim, in the material world, Upeyushi, do accept it. Yat Bhava, from whom the creation, Pravaha, is made and annihilated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world. Although from him only all the material world is created. Because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, purport. Because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general and a leader of Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn over so many subject matters, and his thinking, feeling and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. Although Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he himself descends on earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna, as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called Satvat. The Lord is the chief amongst such Satvatas. Bhishma Dev, therefore, had no other desire. Unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Desires cannot be wiped out, but they have only to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself that he gives his instructions from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Such instruction is given not for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. For the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities, but he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. That is the difference in dealings by the Lord with different living beings. Both the devotee and the non-devotee, he is the leader of all living beings. As the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens, but his dealings are different in terms of devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotee never care to take any instructions from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case. Although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good or bad, the devotees are above this material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayana, because Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as the Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees, and for them only the Lord descends on the earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will. He is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as the Vibhu or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhebacha Vadidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So the chapter is entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. And this is the beginning of Bhishma Stuti, very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam, very popular. And this goes on for 10 verses from 32 to 42. So many such stutis, Kunti Stuti, Gopi Geet, and Dhruva Stuti. This is Bhishma Stuti. To give a little context, Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows, literally pinned to the ground. You know, there's a word in English, pinned to the ground. The police pinned the offender to the ground, yes? Probably that makes no sense. How can you pin someone to the ground? Yes. But here it's literally, you know, being pinned to the ground. Bhishma is actually lying on pin-like arrows on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's actually pinned to the ground. And obviously not a comfortable position. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is lamenting and he's beside himself and he's feeling ridden with guilt and he doesn't know, he doesn't have the courage to take up the royal duties. He Because he feels that it is because of him that this great war was fought and so many crores of soldiers are killed, so many people are dead and are dying. Dead because the war is over, and dying because now all those soldiers who are dead are being followed by their wives. That time there was a sati system. So on a daily basis he was seeing all the women, as their husbands' bodies are burning, the women are jumping into the fire. So the death is continuously going on. You see? And Yudhishthir Maharaj just can't come to terms with the fact that it was only because of him, because he was to become the emperor, and started thinking that, did I engage? He started questioning his own motive. We can never be sure about our own motives, is it not? Sometimes we may feel, did I really have the right motive at that time when I did this? So Yudhishthir Maharaj was also questioning his own motive, that why did I do this? Why did I ever engage in this war? Just to become the king? And so understanding Yudhishthir Maharaj's predicament, Lord Krishna personally goes and advises him that no, this war was not a personal affair, it was the desire of all the great authorities and including myself. It was the war of dharma, to establish the really qualified people on the throne. It's not, no, but despite all those words of consolation by the Lord himself, Yudhishthir Maharaj was not pacified. Quite surprising, isn't it? Krishna speaking, Lord himself, the greatest of all orators, when Krishna speaks, who can not be convinced? But Acharya has explained that the Lord, who is also the Paramatma within the heart of Yudhishthir, that Krishna within Yudhishthir's heart was not allowing Yudhishthir Maharaj to be convinced by the Krishna's words who is outside. And Veda Vyas and all the great rishis of the universe are assembled there, and they all are trying to advise Yudhishthir, but still he is not being convinced. And then Krishna takes him to Bhishma, so that Bhishma may speak few words and console him and also give him instructions as to how he should take up the responsibility to become the king. Now he has to be the king, the emperor of the world, not just a king actually, the emperor. There was one country, Bharatvarsha, one language, one flag, one language, Sanskrit, one flag, all over the world. Sanatana Dharma was a religion. So it was a huge responsibility. So Krishna took Yudhishthir to Bhishma. And Acharya has explained that such an assembly, as it is explained, it was explained in the previous verses, that all the Kanva Rishi, Narada, and Veda Vyas himself, and all these great rishis have assembled there. Acharya is saying that probably there has never been such an assembly before. Such an audience, a great elevated audience, one of the most experienced, detached speaker, and one of the most qualified listeners. And if there is another assembly which has taken place in discussion of the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, then that is only Shukadeva and Parikshit, highest. And the Acharya has explained, it is only because when Shukadeva was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, it was to become Nivritta. It is to give up your material royal duties and take up to Krishna consciousness. But here Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to Bhishma to get instructions to become Pravritta, to become now engaged in the royal duties. And therefore, on that level, you see, the discussion of Shukdev and Parikshit is considered to be on a higher level. Nevertheless, it is the quintessence of all teachings, especially Bhishma Pitamaha, is from his personal example, is teaching the art of leaving. This very famous art of living and art of leaving. And here we can see that how a pure devotee of Bhishma, like Bhishma, is going to quit the body. So here is that point of time when now Bhishma has concluded all the teachings which he had to give to Maharaj Yudhishthir. Everything has been said and done, and he wraps up that conversation, and now he's focusing his mind, his mati, as it is explained here. Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna. Iti matir. Now that I have engaged my intelligence in all these different topics of royal matters, of duties of statesmanship, that is enough. And now I fix my mind, upakalpita vitrishna. And we'll come to that, but the beginning of this, or rather, the reason, another reason why, now the question can be raised that what was in Krishna's mind? Why wasn't Krishna allowing Yudhishthir Maharaj to become convinced? All these rishis were trying to tell Yudhishthir, but he was not getting pacified. What was it that Krishna wanted? Why is it necessary to take Yudhishthir Maharaj to Bhishma? So obvious reason is that yes, so many teachings, all of us now will get the teaching, yes, how to leave, but also most very importantly, he's trying to grace Bhishma Dev. He's trying to bless Bhishma Dev and correct his mistakes. There are certain flaws within Bhishma Dev's conduct. Bhishma is one of the 12 Mahajans. Dvadashete vijani mood dharman bhagvataniha dharmam vishuddha durbodham yamyat vamritam ashnate. So out of those 12 Mahajans, Bhishma is one of the Mahajans. But he is not God. Yes, no living entity can be God, and everyone in their discharge of their duties may end up making some mistakes. And the obvious mistake of Bhishma is that he landed up on the wrong side. Is it not? He was on the side of Adharma. He was on the side of Adharma. He was fighting for the Kauravas. Not only that, he witnessed the insult of the Pandavas, who were great devotees of the Lord, very dear to the Lord. He witnessed the insult to Draupadi. He witnessed the Kauravas stealing the property of the Pandavas. It was rightfully belonging to Yudhishthir. Bhishma Pitama actually witnessed, and not just witnessed, and then finally, whatever may be the details of Mahabharata, but he ended up fighting for the Kauravas. So you see, in life, it is advised by the acharyas, by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and all those great acharyas, who tell us that when we live this world, in this world, we must follow dharma. Three things are very important for everyone. Firstly, we must follow dharma. Laukik dharma. The code of conduct given by the Lord for all living beings. Like Rama Dharma Van Vigraha. And therefore, to understand, we follow Ramayana, isn't it? We follow Lord Ram, the way he conducted himself. Lord Chaitanya, he taught how to worship the Lord personally. But today people don't understand. People, you know, they imitate Krishna. Krishna Leela. Dandiya Ras, very famous. Yes, Rangoli, very famous. How was that? Holi. So people love because Krishna did it, we also want to do. But ideally speaking, we shouldn't be imitating Krishna, but we should be imitating Ram, we should be imitating Lord Chaitanya, if we really have to. So, therefore, a very important principle of life everyone must follow is that we should all follow dharma. And that is a general principle. Secondly, when you follow dharma, make sure that we have the right motive also. You may be superficially following dharma, but our motive may be wrong. Yes? And lastly, we should also be a devotee of Krishna. We cannot be a mundane moralist. There are so many people who are, you know, such people who are following everything right and doing everything good, but they are not devotees of Krishna. Three things are very important. Now, when you apply this principle to Bhishma, now, he certainly lacked following dharma, isn't it? Because, you know, the Pandavas were fair people, they belonged, the property belonged to them, but still, Bhishma Pitamaha was on the wrong side. So he did not support the dharma. So that was a mistake. And not only that, even though so many atrocities were conducted, were done to the Pandavas, he just watched. Not just watched, he actually raised his voice, but he did not physically do anything. He was all powerful. He was the most powerful Kshatriya on the planet. He could have taken his sword and just, you know, slashed the head of Duryodhan, and the matter was closed there and there. But no matter what, I mean, he would have taken these vows of, you know, being faithful to the throne and all those things. So he ended up being faithful. So therefore, being devotee of Krishna, there was a little lacking on that part, because you can't say that you are a devotee of Krishna and watch a devotee being insulted. You cannot do that. A devotee is ahimsak for sure. No, he's not violent, but he's not napunsak. He has to defend the honor of a devotee, and he should have done that, but he didn't. So it's like that. So, but his intentions were good. Yes? Intentions were good. Like, we may do the right thing, but we may not have the right intention. Like, for example, say a devotee comes to the temple and he's a little fat. And say, you say, "Are, Prabhuji, you are bahut mote ho gaye." It's a fact. You know, Krishna says, "Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat." You know, that always speak the truth. You know, he's fat. You tell him he's fat. But then in your mind you are thinking, "Dekho, kitna indra trupti kar raha hai." He's gratifying his senses, he has become fat. So you have done the right thing, yes? You have spoken the truth, but your motivation was wrong. How is that going to benefit anybody? Isn't it? So always being on the right side or doing the right thing is not important. Having the right motive is also important. So therefore, Bhishma Pitamaha, for that matter, was having the right motive. Always having the right motive. He was always favorable to the Pandavas. He loved the Pandavas. He loved the Lord. But there was some discrepancy in practical application of conduct of this world. And that's what is even Arjun's predicament, you see. It's not knowing dharma which is a problem, but how to apply dharma, isn't it, which is a problem. Therefore, karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichhami tvam dharma sammudha. What is sammudha? Dharma sammudha. It does not mean I don't know what is dharma, but I don't know right now what is the right dharma for me. I am a student, my gurus are there. I am a brother, my brothers are there. I am a son, my parents are there, my grandfather is there. I am a warrior also, I have a duty to fight also. So now should I fight? Should I be a brother? Should I be a son? Should I be a father? Should I be what, a family member? What should I be? So dharma samudha means now how to apply. At this point of time, what dharma should I follow? So you see, this is Great, great. Therefore it is said, Tarko Pratishto Shrutayo Vibhinna Nasav Rishir Yasya Matirna Bhinnam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam. Very difficult to really ascertain what are the religious principles to be followed at that time, place, circumstances. And even Bhishma Pitamaha, being such a great scholar who has lived through so many generations. Now, as you grow older, you become wiser, is it not? So can you imagine that not just one, but many lifetimes, Bhishma has spent time equivalent to many lifetimes. So how much experience he has garnered, and still he could not. So there is definite discrepancy on the part of Bhishma, but Krishna is saying, never mind. And Krishna has come there personally in front of Bhishma. Why? Because even though Bhishma knows all the yoga practices, and even though expert, and he's waiting for the right time for the sun to move in the northern direction, the ideal time that yogis wait for in order to depart from this world, but still Krishna comes there. Because yogis have to remember Krishna. It is easier to see Krishna and then think of him than to just simply think of him, is it not? So Krishna, out of his infinite compassion, is personally now present in front of Bhishma, so that now Bhishma can actually see the form of the Lord. And he's making it easier for Bhishma to remember him. What is easier? Seeing the form of Krishna and then remembering him, or just remembering him with your eyes closed? Isn't it? So now here, Sakshat. Sakshat. So you see, when the Lord's incarnation is personally present, the physical form, or should we say physical, or should we say physical spiritual form, yes? What can, because of paucity of proper words in English, you know, you cannot say physical, but we can say the physical spiritual form of the Lord confers certain benefits which is not present at other times. Isn't it? That's why when Krishna blew the flute and he called the gopis, and the gopis have come there, and then Krishna is saying, okay, why have you all come? Just to test them, just to tease them, to hear what they think. And then Krishna says, you know, don't you know that it is not good for young unmarried girls, and for that matter even married girls, to be leaving home at the middle of the night and coming and meeting a strange man? Don't you know that's against moral codes, against dharma? Okay, I understand that you are devoted to me. You are devoted to me. That's laudable. Everyone should be devoted to me. But simply being with me and in my presence is not always appropriate. Go back home and you can do chanting. You can chant. You can go to the temple, take darshan. You can remember me. But what do? The gopis don't go back. The gopis don't go back. They stay put there. And out of the different reasons why the gopis did not go back, one of the reasons was that why to do those things which are indirect processes when your personal presence is here? Krishna says, Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Mahi Bhavo no Kirtanat, Nadatha Sannikarshena, Tato Yato, Prato, Tato Grahat. Go home and do Shravan, Darshan, Dhyan and all those things. But Krishna is saying, why should I do those indirect processes when now your avatar of Sri Krishna is here right in front of me? We can do that when you are not present. But the example is given, like say a husband is out of home for a long time. Maybe he's in war or the battlefield, and wife is taking care of the house and everything, children, and she has a photo of her husband. And she's putting flowers to the husband and remembering the husband, looking at the photo. And then finally, by surprise, the husband comes home. And he's standing there and with the luggage. And she should naturally go and take the luggage from her husband and, you know, give a nice embrace or whatever. But, you know, she's absorbed in the photo and she's doing agarbatti and aarti and everything for the photograph. And she's saying, जरा ठहरिए, मैं अभी की सेवा कर रही हूँ. So it's not appropriate, is it not? When the Supreme Lord is personally present there, then what is the point of taking to the indirect process? So similarly, gopis, and for that matter, Sri Krishna's personal presence is of great importance. Acharya says that presence and that prerogative is not for us at the moment. So we follow the process of Shravanad, Darshanad, Dhyanad. We chant and we do other things. They are all incarnations of Krishna, the holy names. Darcha. The avatar comes and goes. We are a little late. We are 5,000 years late. We are 536 years late. That's why we missed Mahaprabhu and we missed Sri Krishna's incarnation. So, unfortunately, we don't have that. But, so therefore, the Lord has appeared here in order to give that special mercy. And therefore Krishna says, you know, that verse Prabhupada quotes in the 12th chapter from the Varaha Purana. He says, Navami paramam sthanam archir adi gatim vina garudas kandham aropya yate cham anivaritaha. This is Navami paramam sthanam. Navami, I will personally take such a devotee. Archir adi gatim vina. So what is archi? Archi, you know, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says about the different ways of departing from this world, the path that yogis take. They decide when to die, when to leave their bodies. So archi is the path taken by the yogis in order to get liberated. So, archir adi gatim vina, that means, for my devotee, he's saying that there is no need for you to go through all that cumbersome process of trying to become yogis and doing all those gymnastics and perfecting the art of asanas and all. It's very simple. Just you become my devotee, surrender to me, that's all. So, archir adim gatim vina. So, he says, garudas kandham aropya. I will immediately come and I will take my devotee and I will put him on the shoulders along with me on Garuda. Yatecham anivaritaha. Anivaritaha. No one can stop me. And I will bypass all the other destinations of Swarga and today probably it will be other things. Maybe Dubai and, you know, Australia and China and USA and, you know, Europe and all those other destinations and Swarga and even Apavarga, and I will take him to my abode. So the Lord has made it very easy. There is no need to go and of course Bhishma Pitama is prolonging. He is actually waiting for the sun to go to the northern direction. But as Acharya has explained, that is not the real reason. The real reason is that he wanted to prolong his darshan of Krishna. He is waiting. Okay. Let me prolong something. And yadi vatadi doshena mad bhaktam mam nachasmaret aham smarami mad bhaktam navami paramam gati. Again, Varaha Puran, Prabhupada quotes all these verses and he says that yadi vatadi doshena, that at the time of death, when my devotee, who may not have followed karma, who may not have followed jnana, he may not be a very great intellectual, or he may not be a great ashtanga yogi. He is a simple devotee. He is chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, sitting in Bhagavatam classes. But he has pure motives. So, he says, yadi va, that he is now suffering because of vatadi doshena. In old age, what is the problem? Vata dosh, kapha dosh, and all those things. Therefore, he is now severely distracted and he cannot think of me. Mad bhakto mam nacha smaret aham smarami. I will remember him, I will go to him and I will claim him. And navami paramam gatim. Yam prapya nanavartanti taddhama paramam gatim. Paramam mama. So that dham, avyaktokshara iti uktas, tamahu paramam gatim. So Krishna says that I will take you to my own abode, to Krishna Lok. So you see, the only thing necessary is surrender. The only thing necessary, as here it is said, iti matir upakalpita vitrishna. And this is the proof that Bhishma Dev had always the right motive. So, iti matir upakalpita vitrishna means that now I am offering my intelligence to you, mati, my intelligence or my mind. Like when children, when they study, you know, the parents tell the children, thoda dimag lagao, man lagao padhai mein, thoda dimag lagao, dimag lagao thoda sa padhai mein. So now Bhishma is saying, iti matir upakalpita. Now dimag kahan lagao? Bhagavan par. Iti matir. Dhimahi. Dhimahi. Buddhi. Apply to Krishna. And how? Vitrishna. Vitrishna yani ki without any expectations. Because generally when you give, you expect something. So now Krishna has come there. And there is very little that Bhishma can do because all his senses are incapacitated. He has literally been pinned on the floor, on the ground. He cannot move his senses. His senses are gone. No use. So what can he offer? He cannot say, okay, idam asanam, klim krishnaya nama, and all those things. But his mind. So he says, iti matir. Least he can do. And that is what all that Krishna wants. Therefore Krishna says, man mana bhava mat bhakto. He is not saying, give me your tan. He is not saying, give your dhan. All he says is that, give your man. Keep all these things for this world. Just give me your man. Which is the most important thing and which is the greatest challenge for everyone. Because we can be physically present here, but our mind is somewhere else, probably. So, what makes a person a devotee here? Vitrishna. That means you are coming to Krishna for what? With some expectations. But Bhishma has no expectations. So, surrender means that. And there is a glory in surrendering, you see, the way Bhishma surrendered. That naturally Krishna is moved to protect. And, you know, the examples are there of, Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he was ascending to heaven, Dharmaraj personally came as a Dwarpal and he told Yudhishthir that you can come to heaven, you are qualified, but not your dog. Who's this? What is this dog here? You leave the dog behind and come with me. So Yudhishthir said, well, this dog has taken my shelter and I am responsible for his protection. How can I leave him? So, never mind, I will forfeit my opportunity to go to Swarga. I cannot leave this dog. There's something about surrender that, you know, makes the master, protect. Yudhishthir Maharaj never gave up the protection even of that dog. And, you know, even today, I heard in this news that in the Ukraine-Russia war which is going on, many of the Indians, they were planning to come to India, but they had pets in Ukraine. You know, and they said, "Hum nahi aayenge agar hamara kutta ya billi hum leke nahi aayenge saath mein." They were not willing to come. They wanted to bring their kutta and billi also, their cats and dogs also. And so they were willing to stay back in Ukraine, the war-torn Ukraine. Can you believe? They were willing to even die. Something about, you know, the shelter. And, you know, truly we can see in this world that sometimes, you know, a child is born and they are special children. They can't contribute anything. It is quite apparent that the child will be a liability to the parents for the rest of their lives. You know, there are certain children who are born to parents, they are liabilities for the rest of their life. But still, the parents love the children. At least civilized parents will not think, "Are kya?" Parents will love the child because the child has no other shelter. And that is also the same thing about gopis. When Krishna said, "You go," gopis said, "Where can we go? We have no shelter." It's not like today, you know, people go out and then roam around, come back at 12 o'clock midnight and all those things. Those times, you know, traditional Varnashram Dharma, where a lot of culture was there. And that time when you leave home at that time of the day or the night, for rest assured that there is no coming back, yes? Sita, when she spent 1 year outside and you see what happened and people talk and things like that. But those days, so gopis had no other shelter. So similarly, all that the Lord expects is that we be simple, not just that we become great knowledgeable and great gymnasts and practicing all these very difficult postures of yoga. Nothing. He just expects us to become a simple devotee, having no material motives, no material desires. That is what is the hallmark of a devotee. Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna, that we are applying our mind and we are serving Krishna with no expectations whatsoever. Bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhumni. And he's offering to Bhagavati, to Krishna, who is sattvata pungave. Sattvat pungave means the lord of the yadus, lord of the devotees, whatever. Vibhumni. Vibhumni means he's that akshara brahma, that all-pervading Narayan. But still he has come as sattvata pungave. Why? So he's saying out of mercy. Susukam upagate kvachit vihartum. When the Lord incarnates as a fish, or say maybe the Lord incarnates as a turtle. Yes, he's already done that. Now how many of us can actually relate with that form of a tortoise or a fish? Hare Bhagavan, Matsya. Now how many of us actually Matsya avatar? I went to Kurmakshetra. Kurmakshetra and I was looking at the deity and I could not understand where is the... No offense, but you know, we can very well relate with Krishna's form, Narayan's form, Lord Ram's form, but Kurma and Matsya form, you see that form and you, it's very difficult. But as a human being, you can relate with Krishna because his form is a human form, Ram's form is a human form. So it is out of causeless mercy that Krishna can take any form, but he has not just taken any form, but he has taken a human form, and not just anywhere, but in the Sattvat Kul, which means in the Yadu dynasty, so that he can be related to his devotees and the devotees can relate with him and then establish the connection very naturally. Isn't it natural to think and feel for our own people, especially when there is some blood relationship? That's why in English they say, what is that? Blood is thicker than water. Isn't it? So it's natural. Bhai hai, bhen hai, mother, father. It's natural to think. So Bhishma Pitama is saying that you have appeared in the Yadu Kul so that we can naturally be attracted to you. That is your mercy. And swasukham upagate kochit vihartum. And you are doing your leelas for your own happiness, to play along with your devotees. There is no need for you to come here. But prakritim upeyushi yad bhava pravaha. But still you have taken the shelter of your inferior energy. The Lord is living in the spiritual world, but still you are coming here. Just as you may like dream, you may have a dream and then you yourself enter into that dream. Like we do that also. Like Narayan also does the same thing. Mahavishnu also does the same thing. All the universes are being created and then he enters into the universe like different Purushavatars. So Krishna also, for that matter, has created the universe, a like dream-like universe, and he has entered into the dream to enchant the, you know, people, the living entities who are in the dream-like state. So prakritim upeyushi yad bhava pravaha. Yes, the beautiful prayer which Bhishma Pitama has composed on the go. On the fly, he's not reading it or anything, he's just compiling these verses and he's presenting it to Krishna. Now, we may not be such great scholars and poets, we may not be in the position to, and what to speak of composing such eloquent poetries in Sanskrit, even to remember these verses are many times difficult. You know, and we forget the verses also, we remember something and then after 1 or 2 years, if we don't think about it, we have forgotten also. But nevertheless, even if we, therefore the acharyas say, even if you forget all the verses, one verse we should not forget, and that is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is what we should remember. That is all that is expected. And so we can also plan our destination. that as Bhishma is chanting the glories of Sri Krishna, we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and seeing the beautiful forms of the Lord and being in the association, we can also attain the same destination, Krishna Lok. And I just recently, I was in my walk, I was listening to Prabhupada's morning walk conversations, and one disciple of Prabhupada was saying that one Hare Krishna devotee in America, he went to his mother and his mother was dying. And he was telling his mother, "Mom, chant Hare Krishna." And the mother is saying, "Shut up," and she died. Shut up and she died. So let us not make that mistake. Let us chant Hare Krishna and pass away. That is the hope and prayer. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.